Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Welcome in, Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5. We're having technical difficulties. Jeremy can't hear.
We're not having technical difficulties.
You're having technical difficulties. Headphones not working.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy.
Hello.
It's a Tuesday edition of Jeremy and Joe. Brian's behind the glass. It feels like I'm not even doing radio right now.
Because you can't hear anything?
It feels like it's fake radio.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hand me those headsets right there behind you.
Also, lots to get to today, though.
I can't hear you, Brian. We'll get to the Astros
play whatever you want.
A little bit later.
Booty.
We'll talk some World Cup.
Oh, how about the meatballs?
How about the meatballs?
What is that from?
Yesterday, in your library.
It's by design, because everybody keeps grabbing my balls.
You played the. I don't know how to describe it.
No, I don't want it in the butt. I want it in the rib cage. I want to fill it.
This is weird.
Are they not working either?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know what I really like, though?
Yeah, but lots
booty.
To get to today. No, this isn't working either. Just, no, not really. Oh, that's so loud. All right, this is a little bit better.
Okay.
I had it on full blast because so it wasn't quiet, so and then I pulled it out a little bit and buzzed, and then it was incredibly loud. I think I'm a little bit deaf. Anyways, what a start to the show. Lots to get to today. We'll talk some Houston Texans stuff a little bit later. We'll talk some Houston Astros stuff a little bit later, although we must point out that Mike Burrows has been optioned to AAA.
Oh.
The news on that is official, which there's actually proof of me saying this, too. So, like, I don't have to, like, oh, you just have to believe me. I thought that there was a good chance they were going to send out Mike Burrows today.
Boom. There we go. Yeah. Jeremy Branham's right.
And there's receipts on the internet if you really care about searching it and you don't believe me. Although, we don't lie on the show. We can protect ourselves with sweats of the day, and we never do. Which, by the way, Columbia Moneyline, we're on that one today. Yeah, so the outing yesterday for Burrows, we'll get to all this a little bit later, but it's possible he could have made Sunday start. Like, he would have probably been in line to start that game. But Lance McCullers and Ronel Blanco both pitched tonight for Sugarland.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see which guy piggybacks who. My guess would be McCullers starts and Ronel Blanco piggybacks McCullers.
Yes.
That would be my guess. We'll see. But that guy or one of those guys could start Sunday. Like, it'd be normal rest.
Yep.
Wednesday off, Thursday off, Friday off, Saturday. You pitch on Sunday. That's normal 4 days rest. And then what happens after Sunday?
All-star break.
Yeah, so you can pitch the entire bullpen and not have to worry about mm-hmm. it. So I thought after yesterday's outing, there was a pretty good chance that they would send down Burrows to get another arm to the bullpen, and they did. So Mike Burrows has been optioned down. Alimber Santa is on his way up. So
I like Santa.
Yeah, I like Santa. So you get an extra arm in the bullpen, mm-hmm. and then you don't have to make another move until Sunday, which
yep.
is probably just Santa again. And then whoever starts that game will be the guy that gets called up, whether it's Lance, whether it's Blanco. My guess is that it's Lance, but you could also just go bullpen day that day.
Yeah, you don't have to bring either of them up if you don't want to. But I would guess McCullers is up.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Although Chandler Rome said today, which I'm saving this one just in case, it's needed for Bad Take Boulevard. In his article today, because he was talking bad about, you know, Mike Burrows, which, you know.
He should.
2 months ago, he was talking about how unlucky Mike Burrows was. And people who know ball are like, bro, that's not luck. That's poor pitching.
Yep.
But, you know, some people know ball, some people don't. But in his article, he said, expecting either Blanco or McCullers to pitch before the Astros before the All-Star break feels foolish. So I just had that queued up in case one of those guys pitches on Sunday.
That's a good decision to make sure you're prepared for Bad Sick Boulevard.
Yeah, I'm always
going to be
things.
Wrong.
I mean, I think there's a 50-50 chance they just go bullpen day.
Really?
Yeah. It's the final day before the break. You don't need to preserve arms. You could go two innings with every single guy in the bullpen and cover 20 innings.
Yeah, I guess.
That's facetious, I understand. But you could go bullpen day, final day before the break.
Doesn't some of that kind of depend on what happens the 2 days before?
Yeah.
Like,
it does.
And because you're on the road, right? No, you're only in Arlington.
Yeah, you're in Arlington.
So you're not very far.
No.
But, like, that's, what, a 30-minute PJ, probably, for Jim Crane to send Lance McCullers there?
Depends on who you ask.
Why you put your head down like that?
It's a weird way
why
to phrase that.
PJ?
He's got a private jet.
Yeah, you feel really cool saying 30-minute PJ?
Yeah, I do.
I call it a peej.
That's worse.
That's worse.
That's worse.
That's
why
worse.
Are you laughing when that's what you would have said?
Me?
Yeah.
Because the time frame of it was funny
okay.
to me.
so you could pivot last minute if you need to, but I guess, yeah, it just depends on, ideally, like, if you have to burn through your bullpen on Saturday because your starter doesn't give you any length, then you probably can't go bullpen on Sunday, or you just say, screw it, And it's like, these guys, they'll get a break now for the next 4 days.
But you could throw all those guys except for Hader 2 innings.
That's true.
You know what I mean? But it depends. Maybe they're unavailable. But it'll be interesting to see what happens Sunday. But I just thought it's funny, though, because I screen grabbed this before they even made the Burrows news. Because I thought that there was a chance they would send Burrows down today. Mostly to have an extra bullpen arm up until Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then you do the math on it, both of them would be on full rest. Now, they would be coming back from a rehab, and I think both guys are built up to 60 pitches. But maybe it's just kind of a bullpen day. Maybe it's like, okay, Lance or Rennell, you're going to go 3 innings, kind of build you back up, and then we're going to go bullpen 4th inning through 9th inning.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, what happens between now and then from a pitching perspective influences how you're going to handle all that. But, yeah, I just thought that, that's a bit hot takey for a possibility that we might see one of those guys before the All-Star break.
Yeah, is there...
So now I'm rooting for it so we can put Chandler on Bad Take Boulevard.
Is there an outside shot? I don't know who the second move would be, because the first one would be Santa for sure, that they both come back? And they just piggyback on Sunday as well?
Well, there would have to be an injury. Are you saying Blanco and McCullers?
Yeah. Like a blue ball.
Yeah.
Just to send them down, to make the move happen. And both those guys, they follow the piggyback. Because that could be what the recipe is after the All-Star break, too, is that those two guys are just a piggyback. It shortens your bullpen.
Yeah. Now, the con to that, because everything has pros and cons, the con to that is, what is it, 15 days before you can be called back up? 10, 15 days for a pitcher unless there's an injury.
Yeah.
And then the second con is, if you go to a piggyback, that's basically a 6-man rotation, so it does put you one arm down in the bullpen.
Yes.
So those are the pros and cons. Take it for what you're worth. But, yeah, it's possible. It's possible they could just piggyback again on Sunday. So it's going to be fascinating to see. I'm rooting for one of them to come back because it feels foolish that either one of those two would pitch before the All-Star break.
In a perfect world, I'd love to see Blanco for the first time this year.
That's why I'm actually intrigued to see who starts the game. Because I think whoever starts the game is like they're putting a little bit of emphasis on it.
That's the betting favorite for Sunday.
I'm going to say they're going to protect Lance.
I would be shocked to see Lance McCullers come out of the bullpen.
Be stunned.
Like he did it a couple times last year, right? At the end of the season.
Did he?
I thought so. Didn't he? Or was it one up here? I thought he did bullpen last year. But
I don't remember.
Like, I would guess McCullers is the guy starting on Sunday if they don't go bullpen day. But that could be the end of the beginning. The beginning of the end. For Lance McCullers.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. Anyways, we start with the soccer match from yesterday. What a dud that was, huh?
Nice. Thank you.
All the anticipation, all the excitement. Flo Balogun's going to be back on the pitch. He's going to be in the starting 11. All of that stuff. And boy, they got... I thought there was a combination of two things for me, Joe. One, I thought they were outclassed by Belgium. Mm-hmm. I thought Belgium just outclassed them. And then secondly, I think the Americans played incredibly poorly. And whenever you combine those two things, it's going to be hard to win a football match. When the other team's outclassing you, whenever you play poorly and are making mistakes left and right and all up and down the pitch, it's going to be hard to win a football game. And we saw it yesterday. The Americans had a tough time winning that football game. In fact, they lost in embarrassing fashion 4-1.
Yeah, it was a tough watch.
Yeah.
Probably the nicest way to put it, honestly. They look totally incompetent, and outclassed is the perfect way to put it. Because even when they were trying to reset the offense and reset their plan, they're passing the ball backwards. I don't think ever in the game I felt comfortable watching it. It felt like the whole time it's like Belgium's right there on every pass as they're just sending the ball backwards and backwards and backwards to the goalie. It's like, oh, there's gonna be a mistake here, and eventually there was. There was a disaster, like a Mickey Mouse mistake.
Yeah, how does that happen?
I don't know. I know.
Freeze froze. I
choked.
That was bad. Some were saying he went Young Koo Ho. Remember the Giants kicker? Who hit the kick fat.
He just kicked the ground.
I think Freeze, though, I don't think that he miskicked it. I think that he just thought that I can't kick it right now. This would be a bad time to kick it. So I'm going to do the little deke hezzy, and then I'm going to create space to kick it. What a terrible decision, bro. Just clear the ball.
I think he must have just overthought.
Clear the ball. Yeah. And then Reem, how do you not, I know it was on your weak foot, but my goodness, just get in the way of it. Put your knee on that sucker.
Yeah.
He just, I feel like it's a tough ask for a center back to make that play, but I feel like he should have made the play.
Yeah, it, in the moment, as it's developing, it's like, I think they're okay for a split second, because he's right there.
He's just going to clear it. Or Reem. You're talking about Reem?
Reem, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's two, in position. Two different things.
Yeah, to where it's like, they might be okay with this.
Yeah.
And then it unfolds, and it's a total embarrassment. It's even worse, because this feels like the first time, for me personally, that I've gotten this into the World Cup, to the USA games, to like I wanted to go out last night to a bar and watch it.
I know.
I've never done that before.
Yeah.
I've never gone like I'm gonna go watch a World Cup game somewhere. And then we were all there last night. I was like, this stinks. This
stinks. The atmosphere.
Yeah. It was a huge buzzkill. Thankfully, we had beer.
Yeah, because their first goal was, what, 9 minutes in?
Yeah. But even then, like, as soon as the game started.
Yeah, they get the equalizer, but.
You could tell, like, right away. It's like, this game's not looking good from the jump.
You're outclassed.
Yeah.
Like, but, I mean, I was really excited when Tillman scored the goal off the free kick. Sure. I was like, all right, here we go. Yeah. We're right back in it. You know, slow start. Yeah. First half hour, not great. But the last hour and a half is going to be ours. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Last hour, I guess. Last hour is going to be ours, and then they score the rebounding goal, I guess you could call it, or the response goal. 2 minutes later,
yeah, it's like yeah,
2 minutes is before the celebration was even over.
I was
Tillman's goal. They scored again.
So Sean and I were like looking at Twitter as it was happening.
So did you miss it?
No, we as soon as like the goal, like the response goal happened. So it's 2-1. We pull up Twitter, Fox, ESPN, Barstool, everyone that's tweeting out the clip from the game, the tweets had been up for less than 30 seconds. People hadn't even got the social media post up of the USA goal being scored before Belgium responded.
It's sad.
It's like, okay.
It's sad.
This stinks.
But then even then, it was only like a one goal match. Like, yeah. Okay, all right, we got it. You know, you can level here. You can level here. And then they score the stupid goal. This is so stupid. Freeze, just clear the ball, man. You know when another team cannot score? Whenever you clear the ball into the other half of the pitch. Mm-hmm. Just get rid of it. Ream, put your knee into that sucker. Ream, Freeze, they're all getting crushed today. Pulisic's getting absolutely crushed today, too, for his play. Carly Lloyd just not too pleasant. And then Pulisic after the match, because he had to leave the game with that sprained ankle. Mm-hmm. Not great behind a microphone. He's like, yeah, you know, frustrating. He was sad. You could tell he's sad, but like frustrating, not happy. But I can rest now. Oh, not the thing you need to say.
That's not
what you should have said. Like, and no. I I'm going to take Pulisic's side here. Like, I know that he wants to win. I know that he didn't play well, but I know he wants to win. He wants to be out there. I get all of that. But for him to be like, because he also like last year or 2 years ago, or whatever, set out the Gold Cup, I think it was, and. Or maybe it was the Copa. I don't know. One of the two. One of the two major tournaments for the US of A. So he like got a lot of criticism. He's like, he should be out there with his boys in the build-up to the World Cup. So he sprains his ankle, has to leave the match 30 minutes early, and then afterwards he's like, well, I can rest. Not what you need to say after the country's been eliminated from our own World Cup on our own soil.
No, so what? So this tournament, he left the game early.
Yeah. I mean, I think all the injuries were legit, though.
Yeah, he also hasn't scored a goal in 2026.
Yeah, but he was assisting on some stuff.
I know.
Like,
but
Flo Balogun is like the goal scorer on this team. Pulisic, to me, is like the point guard. He's the one that's getting everybody involved.
Yeah.
Which I thought he played really well in the first game, in the first group stage game. I thought he played pretty good in the third game when he came off the out of the dugout for the final 30 minutes.
It's just,
I thought he played pretty good in the first knockout game.
For people like me,
last night, no.
People that are noobs to soccer, fraud.
Whoa.
Like, that's all I see. Like,
wow, that's a big word to put on Pulisic.
No, but like, this is what I see. Like, I don't watch AC Milan. So, like, I don't know. All I'm told is that this guy is Captain America. And he is like, the way it like comes off is like, he's like he's the best player on the team by far.
I think he probably is the best player on the team.
I just think, I mean,
fraudulent, it seems like.
No one could give him service last night.
It feels like a big thing to call him.
Probably.
Yeah,
I'm a noob.
When did he ever have a legit chance with the ball at his feet to score before he got hurt? Like,
I don't need him to score.
Well, I need him to create
goal-scoring opportunities. Sure. That doesn't mean he has to score a goal. That's a very shallow way to look at a soccer player.
Well,
very shallow. He's not scoring. Center backs don't score. Midfielders don't score. Does a goalie score? Oh, he doesn't score goals. What a terrible goalie. What a shallow way to look at a footballer.
You done now? You having fun? I'm just pointing out they didn't create, like, hardly any scoring chances. So, like, you group them all together. Like, none of them really had a chance to score.
I'm with you.
And even on the free kick, one of the Belgian players kind of, like, when they shoot the puck at the net. I can't remember the name of the term of the play, but they basically deflect it with their stick and it
ricochets.
Yeah, like it just throws the goalie off and they can't respond. Basically, that's what happened on the free kick as well.
Man,
it wasn't even like directly off of Tillman's foot. It was a ricochet.
Disappointing result. Such a, and it, like, so disappointing.
Yeah, it's a major letdown.
Yeah.
You know what it felt like to me watching that?
That's what MLS stands for, by the way. Major letdown soccer.
Yeah.
I saw people forcing, like asking the USA players who are on MLS teams, like, why should soccer fans now invest in the game, watch MLS? Like, all right.
I'm going to watch soccer.
MLS, though?
No. I'm going to watch Wrexham.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm a Wrexham fan until I die.
But it felt like, it really kind of felt like watching the Texans in the playoffs, where like, okay, cool, they'll get their win over the Bengals, they'll get their win over the Raiders, they'll get their win over the Browns with Joe Flacco, with Justin Herbert throwing up all over themselves. But then real football starts in the divisional round, and they're not up for it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it felt like.
It did. Last night's game did feel like watching C.J. Stroud against the Patriots. It very much felt that way. It did. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Lots to get to today. We'll cash and we'll trash and we'll talk about the Astros game last night. They scored 11 runs and couldn't win because Mike Burrows is a bum. But he got sent down today. He's no longer an Astro. But lots to get to from yesterday's game. We'll talk a little bit more football now because it's probably going to be our last chance to talk American football for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. Will we see the U.S. win a World Cup in our lifetime? Question I have for you guys. Will we see the U.S. win a World Cup in our lifetime? Ever. 713-780-3776. Also, how do we improve as a country? How do we improve the infrastructure to develop our youth, to put us in a position as a country, as the great United States of America, to put us in a position to someday in our lifetime win a World Cup? Because I'm seeing some of those hot takes. It feels like we get that every 4 years, right? Here's what we need. Here's the thing. 713-780-3776. You can watch along, twitch.tv/ESPN975, YouTube at ESPN Houston, TikTok ESPN975, Twitter ESPN975. He's at Joe George Radio, Brian's at Sack by BMAC, I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975.
ESPN975. I assume you knew. Back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Barrett the Buyer says this wide receiver, running back, quarterback doesn't score TDs. Branham, what a shallow way to look at a football player. Offensive linemen don't score, punters don't score. What a shallow view. Totally different. That's apples to orange comparison. It's like you're saying a point guard doesn't score, but he averages 25 assists, 0 turnovers, and plays top line defense. Terrible, shallow way to look at athletes if you're only looking at
points. The show is so much better when you're not being a turd.
I'm sorry, I got to give you my honest opinions. Shallow way to look at sports athletes. Well, they don't score points. They don't score goals. Shallow.
Anything
else? It's not how I look at players. I look at players if they're a winning player, if they're a losing player.
He comes off as a losing player.
Last night he did.
Yeah.
Last night, Pulisic looked like a losing player. Junkie USA never looked good compared to a lot of teams.
Junkie?
With passing and with the team sending pressure the whole time made it even look worse. Yeah, it didn't look good. It was a bad look. So the question I have, will we see the U.S. win a World Cup in our lifetime?
I'm going to say the answer to that is no.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Sadly. I mean, it's less than, isn't it like less than 10 countries have won the World Cup?
Sounds right, Joe.
Like, so if it's already that challenging to do it, like, I have a hard time. It's eight, it looks like, have won the World Cup. I have a hard time saying, like, USA will get there. Will they go farther than they have now? I'd like to think so.
That'd be sad. Wouldn't it be sad if they never got past the quarters in our entire life? That was almost a great goal. What a great save. Colombia and Switzerland, 0-0 in the 21st. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see them win a World Cup. Hopefully it improves, which leads to the other question. How do you improve the infrastructure to develop the youth here? Because, like, how do they get further? Like, I saw, what was old boy that used to work at NBC that's in Boston now? Ari Alexander.
Oh, okay.
He was like, well, the U.S. has never produced a world-class player. Well, can you get one in free agency? Can you trade for one? Like, it'd be great if you could do it, but what a weird thing to complain about. Like, either you're American or you're not.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just go out there and acquire one. So, yeah. He was just pouty and whiny yesterday. It annoyed me.
No, I mean, I think, like, yeah, it's annoying.
They've never developed a Messi. How dare them? Well, they haven't had the talent of a Messi.
Yeah, like they don't have one. And you can see with this tournament, like what the difference is. Like you watch Argentina today, France, Spain, like all these countries like who are performing, England, they have these elite players and they're scoring goals. Like they're the main guys on these teams. USA doesn't have that. It feels like it's a question that's as hard to answer as how do you stop Tommy John in baseball, to be honest with you. Because like I think the main argument I've seen is it's too expensive. Is that it's too expensive to do it. My counter to that is baseball is more expensive.
That sounds like a very wise thing to say.
Like baseball,
I think you have to be very smart to have that kind of take.
Like baseball is more expensive for travel ball than soccer is.
I saw some people even saying it about hockey. Like U.S. is better at hockey than they are relative to the other countries in the world, and that's way more expensive.
They got a gold medal this year to prove that.
I think it's a ridiculous statement too. In fact, I was tweeting about it earlier. Is it too much to play soccer
yes.
and all that? Probably, yes, but it's not the reason. They're a world-class producer at baseball talent, mm-hmm. and that's way more expensive. Somehow they're a world-class producer at hockey, which how many people you know play hockey? That's not something where a bunch of people played hockey. What I think it's there's more love for soccer, internationally. Mm-hmm. The love for soccer domestically is pretty waned, you know? And if you're a world-class athlete, how many of your world-class athletes are learning how to play soccer at a young age and then sticking to soccer? You're probably going to be groomed to play football. You're probably going to be groomed to play basketball. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to be groomed to play baseball. You know what I mean? So, soccer in this country now all of a sudden gets, the leftovers of the leftovers of the leftovers of the leftovers.
Yeah.
So you just don't really have, And, look, I still think that the Americans are athletically, right there with the rest of the world. But in terms of skill, not even close. Not even close to the rest of the world. So I don't know if it's fixable. It's just not many people are getting pushed to soccer. Everybody's being pushed to football, basketball, baseball, maybe even golf ahead of soccer in our mm-hmm. country. I don't know how it's ever going to get fixed.
No, I mean,
I don't think you can.
No, you look at base cost or base pay for the top athletes. The MLS right now, which obviously is not the top league you would want to play in. If you're an American, you want to go play in the Premier League or something like that to where you can make real money, obviously. But the MLS is, the average pay is $350,000 a year, right?
I don't want them in the MLS.
No, I don't either. But just to, Brandon Aubrey, I don't know if he was good enough to go from Notre Dame's soccer team to the MLS,
uh-huh.
where he could have made $350,000. Instead, he got a four-year, $28 million contract to be a kicker.
I think that's a really rare situation, though.
Probably. But, I think it's just, there's more money. Whether it's, just as you're growing up, and it's, you see baseball money, football money, and there just aren't as many people that are just ingrained in the sport. They
no.
just don't care. How many dads, honestly, when their kids are growing up and they're pushing them into sports, are like, I want my kid to be a soccer player.
Very few.
It doesn't exist.
And far less per capita than any other country in the world.
My son is never going to be a professional athlete. He's going to play baseball. And I'm going to put money into baseball.
He might have a better chance in soccer.
He might. Are there a lot of 5'6" guys out there?
Soccer way more, yeah, than
okay.
baseball.
Maybe. But
Messi's a short king.
That's true. Maybe. Joseph George Jr., next Messi.
There you go.
You
never
know. I'm going
to put Brandon baby to soccer. You have a way better chance of Brandon baby playing soccer.
We're going to fix USA Soccer.
Yeah.
Right here on this show. We're going to be the reason why USA Soccer wins the World Cup. You're welcome.
You say we've never produced a Messi? Wait for Brandon baby.
Yeah, just wait.
In 15 years.
Brandon baby and little George running the world.
I do think that it would be best to send our best players over to Europe as quickly as possible. And, it's one thing, it's hard to do when they're 12, right? It's hard to do when they're 13. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it is possible to send them over to Europe to learn from the, the top countries in the world when it comes to football, do it.
Yeah, you have to
do it immediately.
You have to export your children.
And that's been a lot of the things that were, the issues with, Berhalter and, Klinsmann a little bit, was, they would pull a lot of the MLS players and, have favoritism to MLS players mm-hmm. over, the European guys. No, that's what I like about Poch. Poch was playing the best players, period. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have any MLS bias, and I would say an MLS bias is pretty stupid, too. Junkie, U.S. men's national team overachieved. That's the story. They're lucky to be where they are. Very successful World Cup. I think it's okay to call it a successful World Cup. I don't think it's okay to say they overachieved, though. In what way did they overachieve? Because they won their group? That was a very easy group to win. Getting to the round of 16 isn't an overachievement. That's where they get every World Cup just about. I wouldn't say they overachieved. I think they achieved probably appropriately.
Yeah, and it's hard to say like they overachieve for me when the people who do watch this and are have watched every USA game or played in it said two times in this tournament that the halves they played in the first and second knockout games were two of the best halves they've ever seen from Team USA Soccer.
Yeah, some of that's prisoner of the moment, though.
It is, but then to follow up with the dud that was last night, it feels like that's what their cap is.
It's funny, though.
They're a group team.
It's funny, though, hearing like the overachievement thing, because you also have the take that they just beat up on inferior competition. Sure. In the moment they played a strong country, they played like they did yesterday.
Totally valid.
So like, I can't call it an overachievement at all. Like, was it a fun ride? Do I think they underachieved? I don't think they underachieved. I would have liked a better performance yesterday. But I wouldn't call it an overachievement. I also wouldn't call it like I'm incredibly proud of these boys. Like, some people are like, oh, I'm incredibly proud. No. I think it's about, you know, par for the course.
Yeah, they got embarrassed. Like, what's there to be proud of in last night's game?
Nothing. Make soccer academies less expensive and more kids can show their talent, skills for soccer. I think that would help. I think it would help. I don't think it's the end-all be-all, though. We produce enough baseball players, even hockey players, that are way more expensive. It's more about, like, the love. But that would help. I'm not saying it wouldn't help. I don't think it's the primary reason. A junkie, there's not enough sources for people to get the proper training for soccer. Every other sport is a diamond. Doesn't find someone to train, but it's harder to find. I think it's fair too. Would y'all want Branham Baby and Little George coached by Pochettino?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. I love that guy. Plus, Branham Baby might be able to understand him a little bit better.
That's probably true.
A little bit. So, Alex Del Barrio sent me like a weird text. Actually, like, did that quote tweet, like, dunk thing. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about, I tweeted about this. Like, I keep seeing this tag that soccer's too expensive, but it's nothing compared to the, you know, cost to play youth baseball. And he just screen grabbed like the old World Baseball Classic results, and just left it at that. I'm like, I said, I'm very unclear to the point you're trying to prove.
Okay.
He said, if you need it explained to you, I can't help you.
He's a weird cat.
So, man. I go, why so sassy? I don't understand what he was trying to say.
Because they didn't win the world. They didn't win it this year.
They didn't win it in 26, but they won it in 17, and they've been in the championship game the last 2 years.
Yeah, like,
or two classics, not 2 years.
Like, they were.
I don't know what he's. I don't know if he was backing me up or if he was trying to like say
no.
That
I think
was wrong.
I think he's trying to say you're wrong.
One, like, a single tournament is a terrible way to look at international success or a domestic success based on developing talent in the sport.
Yes.
If you're like, who develops the best baseball players, America would be in the top three, probably one. If you were to ask the same question about soccer, they wouldn't be in the top five.
Yeah.
Plus, if that is your, like, they haven't won it in the last two classics. Well, they won it the three classics ago, and they were in the title game in the last two.
Yeah.
Show me the last time America was in a title game. It's such a weird. Like, I don't know what he's trying to say.
I don't either.
Which is why I asked him, and he got sassy with me.
And so,
ADB. And people were in the comments too. I don't think anyone but you has a clue what the heck you're saying here. What a weird comment that guy.
And like, it's of all the sports, like, it's a men's soccer problem.
Yeah, they're good at women's.
Women's is good. We're good at hockey. We're good at baseball. When Olympics was
basketball,
in
basketball, football.
Basketball, softball.
We're like, so good at football, they don't even have it in the Olympics.
We haven't.
Because they'd be scared to play the Americans.
When's the last time? It's been what? It's been like 5 years since an American has won the MVP of the NBA. It doesn't matter when the Olympics happen. Our team is still significantly better. Like, the best player in the world every single year is from another country in the NBA. But when you put all the teams on the court, we're far and above everyone else. Like, yes, sometimes you need a Steph Curry miracle to win a game, but it seems like it's a men's soccer problem. Yeah. We win in women's basketball, we win in women's soccer. It's just we don't win in men's soccer. Like, that's why it's hard for me to be like, it's a money problem. It's just it feels like it's truly.
I think it's skill.
It's skill and development.
It's skill development and getting the best, because women athletes, there's probably a high percentage of our top athletes that play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Probably yes. They're probably getting a healthy dose of our top women athletes.
Yes.
Soccer's nowhere close.
No,
nowhere close.
The top women's athletes are probably soccer players and basketball players.
And I don't know I don't know how you're fixing that.
It's not an overnight fix.
Oh, this is a good idea. Need to spread CTE injury propaganda to push parents into a safer sport. Yeah. Although there's more concussions in soccer.
I was like, that's wrong.
Yeah.
And when you get a clear concussion in soccer, like, it looked like Messi had like two games ago, they leave you in the game.
Yeah.
So I don't think CTE is a good argument for it.
No. Well, it doesn't look as violent, right? Like,
you're
they
right.
have more concussions, but it doesn't look as violent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just, It would take decades.
I don't think it's gonna ever going to 50.
Like people have been pointing to Norway that they, which I found fascinating, have funded youth sports until you're 12 in their country through sports betting, which is awesome. So they use the money they make from that, and youth sports is relatively free. It's not totally free until you're 12, and this started in 1987. So about 40 years it's taken for Norway to get to where it's at now, to where like they have a way. But again, you're 12 years old. That's soccer is still affordable in this country until you're 12. It's probably when you turn 13, 14, 15 that you really up the ante, and that's when the costs come in.
And that's probably about the time where you know you have a future in soccer too.
Yeah.
Especially at the, you know, national level. That's when we need to start sending them to Europe, right around 13. Let's copy that plan, and then whenever they get good enough, we send them to Europe at 13. And, oh, that's going to make the parents sad. Well, you can move with them, or you can pipe down. Like this junkie tells me, pipe down, Branham, your panties are in a one. Very original of you there, junkie.
Yeah, I think it's just the reality we live in. And, like, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me how, like, Norway can have the same population, or no, sorry, Belgium can have the same population as the state of Ohio. And they have, much better players than we do. Like, you would still think, like, we could find better players with the size of this country. And that's why, to me, it's like, it's so clear it's a developmental problem. That's why it's never caught on in the way. Like, it's why the MLS isn't, frankly, a good watch. And the only time it's, like, worth watching is when these 40-year-olds from overseas come here.
I know. It's sad. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Julian, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Julian?
Man, what's going on, gentlemen?
Just sad.
So, I think you guys are pretty spot on, man. I mean, let's face it. Kids play soccer to help their hand-eye coordination, right? All these kids that I remember growing up were playing soccer, not because they wanted to, but because I was here. No. We got to get their footwork right. And then let's take it a step further. Like you said, the development. How much money are we putting into the development of these kids? Baseball, they did, you know, maybe like in the early 2000s, they put a whole bunch of money into the inner city type thing. And who does that over here for MLS? You know what I mean? Like MLS is the minor leagues. Nobody says, oh man, I can't wait to play for the Sugarland State Cowboys for my life, my career. And that's what the MLS is. And until we get serious for development, because that's the only thing. We're always going to have the athletes. Y'all talked about the size of Belgium. Well, let's look at Louisiana. Per capita, their athletes are just booming compared to us in Texas. But that doesn't stop them from producing.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have a good day, man.
Yeah, we have the best athletes in the world. There's no doubt about that.
No.
It's just soccer's pulling a very small percentage of those said athletes. And then the small percentage of those said athletes that they're pulling in, they're having a very difficult time developing their skill.
I think the first step to trying to get to a point to believe where this country can win a World Cup is to open up the checkbook and give Pochettino whatever he wants to stay.
Yeah, he didn't sound great after the match.
No.
Today is not a time for that.
Yeah, like, it starts there. Like, having someone that can inspire fans as the coach of the program. Like, if people buy into that, it does have a trickle-down. Now, it still might take three more coaches to see the benefits of that, but it finally feels like there's a coach that everyone believes in, and he's probably going to be gone.
Hopefully not, but probably right.
It's just the reality. Like, so I don't know how they fix it without like major reconstruction of everything, and you're still not going to see dividends of that until we're like 70 and 80.
Yeah, I know. And then it just takes one coach to derail it all, too. How do you explain Portugal? They have more talent, same results. America has had nowhere near the national team success that Portugal has. Portugal won the Euros, whatever long ago it was, 6 years ago maybe. It's easy to find players from any major sport to help train your kids and coach them, develop them. But if soccer, you can't find that. That's a good point. More men's teams in college would help. I don't know. I mean, I guess if it had the trickle-down effect and you have more young soccer players chasing college scholarship, I guess that would help. But in terms of, like, them going to the college as a pipeline to, like, a great national team, I don't buy that part of it. But if you're going, like, the trickle-down effect to where you have 12, 13-year-olds, like, okay, I'm going to quit soccer because soccer doesn't have a lot of realistic paths to D1 scholarships. Baseball has 1,000 teams in the country. I could see the trickle-down, the impact that it would have on the youth. But in terms of it being a pipeline for the national club, I think most players that age are probably playing already in Europe.
That's good players. That's an MLS development. Probably more.
Yeah, unless they have the trickle-down effect to the youth. Like, okay, if 50% of kids that play soccer are now leaving soccer because they can't chase the scholarship because there's so few opportunities, now you might have more people that stay in the game, more people stay in the game, bigger pool to select from. It could have a marginal advantage on that front. But once they're that age, like, it doesn't really matter, in my opinion. I think they need to be in Europe.
I'll be honest. I didn't know, like, it was that big of a deal. But, like, I just pulled up just out of curiosity. There's 11 teams in the Big Ten. Isn't there, like, 18 in football?
Something like that. No, there's not many men's.
I did not realize that.
Honestly. Yeah, I think Texas only has, like, one men's D1 program. Maybe two, but I think it's only one.
Like, in all of the
entire state.
Don't the Cougs have one?
Men? No.
They don't?
No, neither does Rice.
Yeah, I think SMU is the only men's
club. I'll be honest with you, I had no idea.
Yeah, I think SMU is the only, like, they have intramural, they have club.
But they don't have
an actual funded program by the athletic department.
And the thing is that people want more. Here's the harsh reality. The way college has changed, college athletics, you're going to lose more soccer programs.
Yeah.
Because why would UCLA, as I'm looking at the Big Ten standings here, the only team from the teams that came from the Pac-12 that are in the Big Ten. USC's not on here. Oregon's not on here. Washington's not on here. Oh, no, Washington is. So you have two of the teams. So, like, UCLA's soccer program has to fly to Ohio State.
Some of them play in different conferences.
Maybe they do, yeah. But, like, this way college athletics is changing with these conferences, the Olympic sports is something that has, like, been under-talked about, in my opinion, like, the negative consequences of what's happened to the Big Ten and the ACC in these teams, where it's just like, how are you going to fund programs?
Yeah, I think that's more a college shake than a soccer take, though.
No, it is. But it's just like, it could have even more negative trickle-down effect on a sport like soccer.
Someone said St. Edward's University, D2, though. We're talking about D1s. I think SMU is the only D1 college program in Texas. So he's not wrong about that. All right, 713-780-3776. So Christian Pulisic's nicknamed Captain America certainly didn't live up to that moniker last night. Who are players, teams that are most undeserving of their nickname similar to Christian Pulisic's Captain America? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 975. If you're heartbroken about all the soccer, well, get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. That way we can play a sport that we're great at in this country. That way that you can supervise a sport that we're great at in this country. You want it. The significant other wants it. The kids want it. They want a goal from Pro Dunk. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll ever find. Don't be looking for some soccer goalpost. No, a goal from Pro Dunk. The sports we're great at in this country. They've been serving the best goals since 1984, too. Tempered glass backboard that you find in the pro gyms, the college gyms. It's got stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof, which, you know, in Houston, you have to have that. Also, a height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. They also have the breakaway rim, because if you're going to lower it down, you need the breakaway rim because you're going to want to dunk, right? I never heard of somebody like, oh, let's lower it down to 5 feet. That way we can shoot jump shots. Let's lower it down to 5 feet so we can knock down shots from the elbow. No, you lower it to 5 feet because you want to have a slam dunk contest and pretend you're Dominique Wilkins. So it's got a breakaway rim to keep you safe. It's also got the extended overhang, so you don't have to worry about rolling your ankle on the basketball stanchion. Their goal, Thor, awesome. They have the lightning adjust feature on Thor, which allows you to lower, raise the goal anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. They have all the goals. In-ground adjustable, portable, wall mount, roof mount. They can do it all. And their accessories top-notch as well. LED light kits for night play. play. It's hot during the day. You don't want to deal with the sun. Don't blame you. Get the LED light kits. You can play at night, work, school, all of that. LED light kits, doesn't matter. You can play whenever. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots more. Plus, they can install the goal for you, too. I don't know about you, but I don't want a big box delivered to my driveway with a million pieces to assemble. I'm probably going to screw it up. I'm liable to do that. But the pros at ProDunk aren't. So get the pros from ProDunk to professionally install your goal. Perfect height, perfectly straight, perfectly done. Save you a lot of time, a lot of effort. So go ahead, order your goal now, ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe doesn't like that Christian Pulisic is called Captain America.
Yeah, strip it.
Because he doesn't feel like he lives up to the nickname of Captain America. So what players' teams are most undeserving of their nicknames? Similar to Joe's opinion that Christian Pulisic does not deserve the Captain America moniker.
So you don't agree with me?
I think it's a fair take.
Okay.
I feel like you're putting a lot of emphasis on one match.
Oh, I am.
But I think it's probably in the majority.
Okay.
Probably in the majority. And I don't think he's a superstar. I do think he's probably America's best player.
Maybe. But I feel like to get like that nickname, you have to be a superstar.
Is he more deserving of Captain America, or is Patrick Reed more deserving of Captain America? Because Patrick Reed's been given that moniker as well because of his stellar performance at the Ryder Cup. I have an issue with Patrick Reed being called Captain America because of all of the controversy in Patrick Reed's career.
Yeah, I would say he's undeserving of that.
I don't like that Patrick Reed is called Captain America. It bothers me more that Patrick Reed's called Captain America than Christian Pulisic is called Captain America, but I also don't really like disagree with you.
Okay, the first one I thought of. Now, this person has a normal nickname, but then tried to give a self-proclaimed nickname. That's Paul George.
Oh.
He tried to call himself Playoff P.
Playoff P?
That was a bad one.
Like, PG-13 is fine.
I didn't even know that.
PG-13 is not even that good.
It's not good, but it's okay.
At least it makes sense. Oh, it's your initials and your number. Okay, yeah. It makes sense.
And it's like, the movie thing and everything. Like
now, when he first
I think it would make sense.
Did that just age out, or was it never good? Because I feel like Paul George was initially good in the playoffs, like, and then it just aged out.
I think, like, when he was with OKC.
I never heard that.
Oh, really?
I never heard that he was Playoff P.
Playoff P.
It's sad that he tried to give it to himself.
He self-glossed
it. I'm Primetime Jay.
You're the Huntington Bank bad boy.
Yeah.
I'm like, does that make the list?
I don't know.
I think it's deserved.
I'm a pretty bad boy.
Joe George, the last good guy?
Yeah, the last real good guy.
The last real good guy, Joe George. You don't think he's the last real good guy? Joe's a really good guy.
I think there's more than one
he's
good guy.
He's the last real good guy.
It's not the other one anymore.
Brian the Brain?
No spoilers, but.
Is that apropro?
I think it is.
Time to time.
Okay.
He's the most brainy of the three of us.
For sure. It's just really a nice way to call him a nerd.
Yeah, it is.
Really.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever picked up on that, but now you know. Now the truth is out.
Yeah, well.
The one that jumps out to me is whenever the Eagles had Michael Vick and then they signed Vince Young and all of them.
Oh.
And Vince Young called the Eagles
great
the
call.
Dream team.
Forgot about
and
call.
I think
great
they missed
call.
The playoffs
You're
that
You're right.
Year.
They were
so
bad.
That to me is the team that moniker that absolutely did not play out very well.
I put team because I thought maybe like there will be a large contingent of people that would say the Cowboys.
Would say because of America's team?
Yeah, that they're no longer worthy.
Yes. I don't know.
I agree. I don't. I think the way they pull ratings-wise,
right.
Like even when they're not that good, like they just show, like, I think they're worthy of it. I think there's a lot
I think
of people
it's fine.
Because
I do too.
They're not very good would disagree with that.
To me, it's not about them being good. It's about having the most eyes on them.
Yes.
And I think they do have the most eyes on them. So I don't think it's we don't like it in Houston. I totally understand that
because
you're giving like praise to the Dallas team, and that's unacceptable in Houston. And how dare I call them a Dallas team? By the way, that's Arlington. An Arlington team. My bad. That's on me. What sticks out to you, Brian?
First one that this is going back a ways, but the first one that jumped out to me, I don't know if Joe probably won't remember this, but Harold Miner once had the nickname Baby Jordan.
Terrible.
I was looking at a list.
Unfortunate. Yeah, that was the first one that popped to my mind. There's a few other that came to mind. Remember Kenny Hill? that magical one game. I think it was against South Carolina. He had an A&M, and they gave him the Kenny Trill nickname.
Oh,
and he faded into oblivion.
I just like the rhyme.
I like the rhyme, but undeserving.
Yeah, it's undeserving. He had one game.
I don't know. I like the name.
Like, that, Money Manziel had...
He won a Heisman.
He had a good run.
He could keep it.
Yeah.
Totally fair.
Kenny Trill had...
He had one game.
One game.
And he faded into oblivion.
Yeah, but what does Trill mean?
Great question.
Trill just means real. So, like, it doesn't necessarily mean good.
Yeah, but, like, it has a good...
cool factor to it, though. Yeah. Like, I feel
sure, it has a cool factor, but I think I just like the rhyme. But Trill doesn't necessarily have to mean good. I think most times you use it in a good way, but Trill is synonymous with real.
Yeah, but who gets Trill if they're not any good?
I mean, he told us who he really was.
I guess. I think Brian's right on this one.
He told us who he really was. I have no problem with the nickname, just because of the rhyme.
All right, let me throw this one at you. Remember Mark Sanchez got Sanchez?
Yeah.
Yep, good one.
He did lead the Jets further than anybody else.
Yeah, back-to-back AFC Championship games.
Yeah.
Sanchez. But it was on the backs of the defense.
When they started calling him the Sanchez, like, it's the trajectory, you could argue it was okay. It just didn't pan out.
But he was being carried by the...
For sure.
Yeah.
When is he going to jail? When's his little court? I want to know his court date. I want to watch that case because he's claiming that he was drugged. He was claiming that he was roofied. So I'm very fascinated to see how that case plays out. I'm very entertained. What else you got? 713-780-3776.
In 6 days.
Oh, really?
Starts July 13th.
I wonder if they're going to have like real court there.
I
want to watch that.
Like, it's not OJ level of interesting, but I'm intrigued.
Speaking of soccer, I remember when they called Freddie Adu the next Pele.
That one didn't really work out.
He was supposed to be our Messi. He was supposed to be our next, like, great, or really not the next, the greatest American ever. He flamed out big time.
Anything that's going to be like Baby Jordan, the next, it's going to blow up in your face.
It never, ever reaches that.
Remember when Matt Harvey got the Dark Knight?
I think
they called him Batman and he flamed out.
He was really good for a while.
He was so nasty.
But he did hit a wall.
He hit a wall hard.
Yeah, just so many injuries.
Yeah.
I tried to put one comical one in here. Glenn Big Baby Davis.
I think he deserved that one.
Yeah. I think that was the goal there.
Yeah.
We're going to call you Big Baby because you're a giant man.
Noah Syndergaard getting Thor. I know it's just because of the last name and the hair, but like, Thor's mighty and Noah Syndergaard's just a guy.
He was really good once upon a time.
For a brief time. Kind of like Matt Harvey. Yeah. For a brief time.
They're both...
But they got the name whenever they were at their prime.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are both, like, right on the cusp of this, where it's like, the nicknames are very well deserved.
See, I think they were deserved, those two.
Yeah.
Initially.
It certainly ended very, very quickly for both of them. Junkies, Roger Staubach was Captain America. See, that's tough for me, because he never played, like, international football, you know what I mean? That's tough, I think. He went to, where did he go? Did he go to the Navy? Was he the guy that went to the Navy?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely.
He went to the Navy.
Service
I think he
branch.
Won the Heisman at the Navy.
I think it was Navy.
That makes sense why he was called Captain America. Then King James. See, I disagree. I think King James has lived up to it. He's one of the greatest players of all time. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Rick, you're in with Jeremy and Joe.
Yeah, fellas, great topic. One that might be an in-betweener is Jeremy Lin and Lin's sanity. I mean, he went off for a several-week period. But it's like, did he take like performance enhancing drugs for like just 3 weeks and then all of a sudden stopped because it was the biggest rise and fall. So he sort of deserved it for the peak of that time period, but it certainly wasn't sustainable.
See, I think because it didn't last, like, Lin's sanity is perfect.
I think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just this insane run that makes no logical sense.
Yeah.
Got a good contract from the Rockets because of it. And was like, it was impossible to live up to. Like, he was never a star player. He just went on the biggest,
insane
one of the biggest
ride.
Heaters we've ever seen in basketball.
Yeah, I think it's pretty appropriate.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that one's fine.
I understand where Rick's coming from. Like, he's a guy who had this cool nickname and he like had like 3 good months. But I do think, like, you know, insanity for the moment. You know, insanity now. No, wait, tranquility. What is it? It's not tranquil.
No, it's
serenity now.
Serenity now. There we go.
Later.
Yeah.
Now, that one made sense to me.
I don't know if you remember these, but there was a time period that the Texans, like every defensive group on their team, had a nickname. Like the defensive line was called the Rock Boys. Yeah. I forget what the other ones were. But like every time they would get a sack, they would play air guitar. I hated those nicknames.
I couldn't stand the Rock Boys. Yes. This is not a good football nickname.
No, it's terrible.
But that's such a good pull, Brian.
They would just sit there and drop to a knee and play the air guitar. They're one sack a game. They were doing it when they were like 4-13. Yeah. Jonathan Martin.
Like, Whitney Merciless dropping it. It's like, this team stinks.
Yeah. I hated that nickname.
That's such a good pull. I didn't even think about
this
that.
This isn't like, it's not relative to football at all.
Yeah. It's not.
I wish I could remember what the other nicknames for the defensive groups were. I just remember Rock Boys for the defensive line.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Not a good one at all. 713-780-3776. Joe does not believe that Christian Pulisic deserves the nickname Captain America. Who are other players, teams that are most undeserving of their nicknames? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5. As I've often said, Two Creeks Crossing Resort, they deserve their nickname as the best place to go in Texas, right there on Lake Livingston. You can escape the city without going too far. You're there in 90 minutes. You don't have to worry about filling up your gas tank, spending $100. No, you're there in an hour and a half. You don't have to worry about jumping on a plane. That's annoying. TSA is annoying. Flight delays are annoying. Having to deal with the weather, annoying. Two Creeks Crossing Resort, 90 minutes up the road from downtown Houston. You leave at 3, you turn us on halfway through the show when most people get sick of us anyways. You're already there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They just had a great time. The July 4th weekend at Two Creeks Crossing Resort was awesome. Everybody was enjoying Blue Bayou Bend, Lazy River right along the property, some of the rides there as well. They were enjoying the pool. They were enjoying Swampers. The 92 acres worth of green spaces. Wildlife you don't see in the city. Beautiful, majestic trees. What's your favorite tree? And some of the best fishing in Texas, too. Right there on the Two Creeks, you can catch some big ones. Catch some big old fish. Plus, they have the catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which I've always said, great way to teach the kiddos how to fish. Maybe you already have an RV. They have the perfect RV hookup spots for you. Maybe you want to try out the glamping life. They got glamping there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Waterfront cabins, that's always nice. Treehouse, really cool. You walk up the steps, you stay in a cabin that's perched right there in the tree. It's awesome. You're going to love your time out there. The family's going to love the time out there, too. Make it a part of your summer plans. Book your stay right now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.